14. We're just going to take a short look at the first 10 verses, and then we're going to take a look at what I want to talk about later on. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him and to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.'" Jesus here is talking about the lost sinner, someone that strayed from the group. And he goes on in verse 7, he says, "Now I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." More important to bring the lost sheep home. Jesus says, those of us that are just people, there's going to be more rejoicing over taking care of that lost one than the 99 that need no repentance. And in verse 8 he goes, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The importance here is, and what I want to bring out, in these first two parables, the sinner was seeked out and found and brought back. Jesus is saying here that that one sinner, there's going to be more rejoicing over that than of the just people that were already there. But the key here is, what I want to bring about is, that these two different parables are the same in one, in that the lost sinner was sought after, found, and brought back. Now, we're going to talk about an old story this morning, the prodigal son. It's a story, you know, we talk about it, we hear about it, and, you know, this kid was at home, and he got his inheritance, he ran away and spent it all, and had nothing, and came back home, and the father took him back in. And basically, that's the story. But there's a lot more to this story than that. First of all, there's three characters. It's not just the son. There's a young son, there's an older son, and there's a father. And I want to take a look at these three different individuals this morning. And I raise the question now, think about it as we read it, which one do you mostly relate to? And after we talk about it, I'm going to raise the question again at the end. Now, I can tell you right now, I relate more to the younger son. Some of you will relate more to the older son. A few maybe even to the dad. But more to the sons. So in verse 11, we're going to read through verse 21. Verse 11, "Then he," Jesus, "said, 'A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer am worthy to be called your son. That's the younger son's plight. Now, try to set pictures so you actually see what's going on here. Here's the younger son. Didn't want to live with his dad anymore. Didn't want anything to do with the family farm. Okay? So he asked for his inheritance. And he was granted that inheritance. Once it was granted to him, it took him 3 or 4 days to get all of his stuff together. And he goes, I'm out of here. See ya. Okay? No questions were asked by the father. Just gave it to him. Nothing in the story anyway that leads to that. Jesus didn't say, you know, the father asked him where he was going, what he was going to do, what he was spending the money on. Didn't ask any questions. He just gave him the inheritance. Now, 3 or 4 days go by, the son gathers all of his stuff together, he's ready to go. He's got the cart packed or whatever he's got, and off he goes. In his mind, I think he's thinking, I got to get out of here, and I'm going a long ways away because I don't want to deal with this anymore. So he goes to a land that's kind of far away. And after a while, he spent all his money. Now we look at this, and we look at it like, he wanted the money, he had no cares. We refer to it as living the life, living the dream, wine, women, and song. However you want to look at it, that's what this kid wanted. He didn't have any cares in the world. He was living the life. And eventually spent all he's had. Now there became a famine in the country where he was residing. So not only was he broke, he'd spent everything. Now there's a famine in this land where he went off to. Can you imagine? Here he had everything going. He had it all. In our words, he had it made. And he thought, okay, I'll ask Dad for my inheritance. I got it. I'm going to go off and live a good life. Happy ever after. Not thinking that money was ever going to run out. Not thinking that something bad might happen. But here it came along. It doesn't say how old he was, but I got an idea that it didn't last very long. He'd gone through all his money. Famine in the land. Everybody's starving to death. He's got nothing. And now he found himself wanting. Oh, you know, that's got to be going through his mind, doesn't it? What have I done? Why did I do what I did? So what did he do? He found a job feeding a man's swine out in the field. He's gone from luxurious living. I don't know if you all seen farmsteads with, I go back to the TV series Dallas, because that portrays, what my picture is, what he was living. And this big house, mansion. He left all that, and now he finds himself out in somebody's field feeding the pigs. How devastating would that be? And then, not only that, no one would even give him anything. So, this kid had everything. It was given to him. His father gave him his there. Takes off, and now he finds himself clear at the bottom of the barrel. Not in the field, feeding somebody else's pigs, and nobody will even give him anything. So he gets to thinking, know, this is really kind of stupid. Even my father's servants have more to eat than they need. So what does he do? He goes, I got to get out of this mess. This is horrible. So I need to go home. Now, you have to understand this, to me, would be very difficult. Because I've taken my dad's inheritance. I've spent it. I've done everything I wanted to do. Now I'm broke. And I got to, you know, humble pie, whatever you want to say, go home. So he decides he's going to go home and he's going to apologize to his dad. And you got to know that's a pretty big step for this guy to make. As he was nearing the home, what happened? You know, he's got to have all kinds of thoughts going through his head, doesn't he? You know, what's going to happen when dad sees me? What's going to happen, you know, when, how am I going to be received? At least I'd be thinking that. But here it is. The father saw him. He ran to meet him. And then we're going to see where he calls for a big party. There was no questions asked when he left. And now there's no questions asked when he's coming home. Only an undying love of his dad welcoming him. You got to know this has got to be a relief to this kid because he had no idea what he was going to run into. So now, we go on to verse 22. The father said to his servants, he says, now look, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. That tells me the kid walked home from wherever he was barefoot because he had nothing. Put sandals on this guy's feet. Put him in the best robe and put a ring on his finger. I'm proud of him. I want to welcome him home. And then he goes in verse 23 and he goes in this, bring the fatted calf here, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. We're going to have a party, folks. My son came home. For this my son was dead, he's alive again, and he was lost and he's found, and they begin to be merry. That's the father. So what we've had so far, we've had a son, took his inheritance, thought he had it made, went to live the good life, the wine, the women, the song, do his own thing, spent all of his money, and now all of a sudden there was a famine hit, everybody was starving, he had nothing, he ended up even feeding some guy's pigs out in the middle of it. Comes home, he apologizes. Now, here's the dad. How many of us would, you know, have, if we, I don't want to put it this way because we would. But children that go off and do their own thing and they come home. Now, we never questioned them when they left. No, I don't think that's right because I would have. And we don't question them when they come home. Where you been? What'd you spend all your money on? What have you been doing? How stupid were you? Those are questions I'd be asking. I'd say, okay, we're going to party tonight, but tomorrow morning we're sitting down and you're going to find a job. You're going to get your life straightened out, boy. Well, that's me. But this father didn't question him when he wanted to leave. He didn't question him when he wanted to come home. He went even further and said, all right, we're just going to party. The undying love his father had for his son. Now what happens? Verse 25. Now here comes the older son. What's going on here? He goes, now his older son was in the field. The older son never left. Stayed with his dad, did what he wanted. He was out in the field working. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. I mean, he's out working, right? So he's got to be thinking, what in the world's going on? Why we got music and dancing going on? This is strange. So he called one of the servants and he said, What do these things mean? And the servant said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father's killed a fatted calf. Now, take a picture of this older son now. He stayed home, he did everything he's supposed to do, he's out working in the field. This son would all spend all his money, had good times, and he came home, and now they're having a big party for him. This older son got to think, well, you know, I don't understand this. I don't know what's happening. So in verse 28, it says he was angry. Well, I suppose. Why is this kid that went off and spent all his money and my dad's money, and how is it he's welcome back here and they're throwing this big party? He's angry. He was so mad he wouldn't even go in the house. I'm not going in there. I'm not celebrating this party. This kid's a joke. Therefore, his father came out and he pleaded with him. Come on. It's your brother. Let thy bygones be bygones. Come on, let's party. So here's what he said. He answered and he said to his father, Dad, these many years I've been serving you, I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. I've done what you've told me to do, and without question. And yet you never even gave me a young goat that I might be merry with my friends. And here my brother goes off, and you're throwing a big party for him, and I've got nothing. You gave me nothing. That'd be a little hard to understand for me, as well as with the older brother. And he goes in verse 30 and he goes, but now, as soon as this son of yours, what my brother, as soon as this son of yours came, he who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, took your inheritance you gave him, spent it on women, you've killed the fatted calf for him? Give me a break. And the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found again. Verse 9, back on the other, rejoice with me, I have found the peace I lost. And I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This younger son came back to his dad. He said, all right, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against the Father. And I'm sorry for that. And this father had such an undying love for his son, he didn't ask any question. He just up through a party and rejoiced. Now, middle of this, we've talked about the younger son, we've talked about the older son, and we've talked about the father. I ask the question again, which one do we most relate to? Are we the one that took off, did our thing, and had to come back? Or are we the one that stuck it out, didn't have any problems? Or are we the one that welcomed that sinner back in with glad hearts? We like the younger son, we like the older son, we like the father. Now, as we looked at this, we have a choice. When Christ died on the cross and we became obedient, we have an inheritance from our Father. We have a choice whether we want to spend that inheritance and go off and live a life of sin, or do we want to be like the older son, stick it out, go through, don't question, and do what God wants us to do, and keep our inheritance. Now, the difference between us taking money and going and spending it, and it's gone. The inheritance that we have from God is always there. And God, just like the dad in his story, will welcome us back with open arms. God will never question us when we make a decision to do whatever we're going to do. If we make a decision to go live in sin, that's our decision. He'll never question, just like the dad here didn't question when the son took his inheritance. And just like when the son came home, the father had the undying love, had no questions for this son. He has no questions for us as we come back from a simple life back into obedience. The problem here is that if you take that inheritance and you spend it, and you never say, I'm sorry, and come back. You never repent and come back. That's where the problem lies. You made a decision to go off over here. Did you make a decision to stay there? The younger son figured out his life was in shambles. And he had to make things right. Can we get over in this life of sin? Can we figure it out that our life is in shambles and make it right? We have that choice. We can stay with God, we can keep our inheritance, and not have any problem. Preferable way, as the older son did. But somewhere along the way, there are those of us that have, I'm going to use the word kind of. That's my own experience. Kind of fell away. I was not where I needed to be. There are those of us that have been there and had to come back. But I like the variation here with these three parables, because the first two, that lost sinner was found. In this story of the son, he had to find his way back. There wasn't anybody there to help him. But when he made that apology, when he repented, the arms were open and he was welcomed back. The older son was jealous. So when someone comes back into Christianity, are we jealous of that? Are we saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, why are you all of a sudden walking back in here? I've been doing this all along. Are we like the Father? Now, something else I looked at as I studied this, as we end this sermon up. Every emotion and every sin is depicted in this parable. Greed, pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, all here with the younger son. Those are the major sins, right? We have selfishness and anger from the older son. We have an undying love, an unforgiving love from the Father. We have repentance from the younger son. We have an apology from the younger son. So we have all the emotions. We've got anger on one end, we've got love on the other end. We've got jealousy on one end, we've got acceptance on the other end. We've got greed, pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, all sitting right here in the middle. It dictates everything. It's all in this parable. And you separate it out. It's amazing what Jesus has said here in these few verses, because he's basically laid out the whole Bible to us about sin, how to react to the act of sin, and what to do about it. An old story, we look a little deeper into it, there's a lot more meaning to it. It's not just the prodigal son decided to come home. We have a choice. We can choose to spend that inheritance, live in a life of sin. We can also choose to stay there, or we can choose to be repentant, come home, and have a life of eternity. That's our choice. So as we look at life, as we look at choices, are we in a situation in our life where we might need help? Are we in a situation where we need some prayers, and we need to go together as a congregation and ask for help. If we need that, we're here this morning, if you'll let it be made known. We're also here, if anyone here has not been baptized. You heard the word, you believe the word, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to say that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to go down into a watery baptism and come out new? If we need those things, whatever you need, make it made known as we stand and sing.